I told her I'm going to work her to death. Now she's home. All right. She learned everything. Now she come home. Amen. Hey, glad to have you here tonight. Take your Bible to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. If you go to Numbers, back up. Let's stand and give God the honor of the reading word. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your excitement about our mission conference. I just love mission conferences. Just they overwhelm me. I want to do so much. I've always remembered that there is a difference between a burden and a call. Burden, I get so burdened to go do something, but I also know that God has called me to a certain place. And I need to fulfill that call. But it's good to get a burden. It's good to have a heartfelt feeling about that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, "And now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee?" And he gives us six things. One, but to fear the Lord thy God. Two, to walk in his ways. Three, and to love him. Four, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Five, to keep the commandments of the Lord. And six, and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Father in heaven, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord Jesus, understand that this job description that you've given us, we need to live by it wholly. Help us to be very careful as we are your people, your people that you gave your life for. May we be very careful about it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought about the people who have gone before you? Farmers, ranchers, contractors, skilled laborers, laborers. You ever think about that? They're gone. They're gone. Some of us have experienced the death of our parents or our grandparents. Some of us have experienced the death of our children. Some of us experienced things that we thought would go on and on. They didn't go on anymore. They just stopped. But we're still here. Why am I still here? Do you ever ask that question? What in the world does God still have me here for? First of all, some people God keep here just to be honoring to somebody else so that they have to learn scriptural things to live with them. Amen? We have our poor here, so that we can help them. That's really a reason for having poor people. Jesus said, you'll always have your poor. And if you do not have a heart for the poor person, you don't have a heart. If you're not willing to give when you see the need to give and you have more and you are abundant and you don't give it, there's something wrong with your heart. You probably have, like my mom said, you probably have a gizzard instead of a heart. Amen. Scripture teaches us a lot of basic things, how we ought to live and how we ought to act and how we ought to think. This Holy Bible that I hold in my hands today, that I cherish, that I love very much, I love this Bible. And this Bible should sure keep me out of a lot of trouble. It can sure help me to devise and to realize certain things that come into my life that I don't know which way to turn. Every day something new comes in my life. I don't know how to turn. I don't know how to turn it. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to work it. I don't know how to think about it. But when I get in this blessed book, God gives me the reasons how I think. The Bible says when I see a man that's hungry, I'm to feed him. Like one man said, if you're hungry and I got a biscuit, I'll give you half the biscuit and both of us will have something to eat. Amen. That's our Christian life. That's our life that we should live. We should be very careful how we ought to base our life on. Do we base our life on the Bible, biblical principles, or not? If I said tonight, I want to give you a piece of paper, everybody, would you write on that piece of paper, do you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible? I would suspect that everybody in this auditorium would say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Like one old preacher said, I believe this Bible from generation to revolutions, amen. Supposed to be Genesis, Revelation, but I help you out there, amen. Most of them would say, you know what, preacher, I have no question about it. I believe that Bible. I believe that Bible is true. Every word in it, true. But unfortunately, some of us don't get the rest of the memo, and that is, read your Bible every day. Be careful with it. I hear things that are going on in churches around about us, and I'm wondering what in the world is going on if they just read the Bible. That thing that Brother Clyde read this morning in Sunday school, if you weren't here at 9:45 like you should have been, you missed that, and that was a tremendous statement about that Presbyterian preacher over where? Beaverton, Oregon, that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so why is he in church? I just want to ask that question. Why are people in that church paying him to be a pastor when he doesn't even believe the Word of God? Explain that to me. You know, the Bible says if you go to a church and the church does not preach the Word of God, you're supposed to leave. You're supposed to flee. I just heard of a person that went to a church and the pastor had to go away, and so his wife stood up in the pulpit and preached. And this one young man who grew up in a good Christian church said he was very uncomfortable, so he left the church, but he came back when the pastor came back. Bless God, I never come back to that church, because that church is completely against God's Word. You ought to know that stuff. Things I was talking about this morning about the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and how that they believe that Jesus and Satan are brothers. Do you know that stuff? Do you know that if you as a wife do not do exactly what your husband tells you to do, when you die, you are not going to get out of that grave and go to some planet and then have babies for the rest of eternity? That'd be a pretty good idea not to, but anyway, don't go there. Don't go. I want to walk through this about what God desires of us. Everybody likes job descriptions. I like a job description. I want to know exactly what they want me to do. Everybody likes to know what they're expected of them. Everybody seems to gain security when they know what they're expected and then what is to be done. When you open the Word of God, there are very explicit rules and regulations in the Word of God that tell you precisely what God expects of the Christian. What does God expect of you? Well, I got saved. Praise the Lord. Why did you get saved? Well, I got fire insurance. I'm getting out of hell. Well, that's good. But I think there's a little bit more entailed to the Christian life than just getting fire insurance. And God gives us these things that we ought to do. The Bible clearly tells us our duty to God is to, first of all, fear the Lord our God. Fear Him. People don't fear God anymore. People use His name in vain all the time. Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. That is not a suggestion, that is commandment. I hear people using it all the time. It just crushes me. Why do you say that? He tells me that, according to the Word of God, the Bible tells me that I must love Him. That I am to delight to have communion with Him. It tells me that I am to walk in the way that He has appointed me to walk. He tells me that I must serve Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. He tells me I'm to cheerfully serve in His service and with good will. I am commanded to keep His commandments, and when we do, we will find that there is true reward, honor, and pleasure in obedience. Number 8, we must give honor to God and to Him. Number 8, we must cleave as one who leaves and delights in, trusts in, and from whom we have great expectation. We're to cleave to Him. Number 9, in this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy, we are taught that our duty is to our neighbor. We got new neighbors. I was out on the grill doing some meat the other day, and neighbors over there, and there it is, tearing that house apart and fixing it up. Man, they're looking nice. And I said, "Hey, sure glad to have new neighbors." He said, "Man, it's a great neighborhood." Friday night, 10:30, I heard them hooting and hollering. I smelled smoke. I thought, what in the world? And here they have a burn, you know what, a burn deal. They're off out there with their barley pop and all that other stuff, you know. Just hooting and hollering. I thought, oh, goodness. There goes the neighborhood. Because an old guy used to live there and you never seen him. Now we got kids and we got trucks and we got beer cans. Never mind. But what did God tell me? God says, now Sheldon, since those are nice neighbors, you're to love them. Is that what He said? No, He said, love thy neighbor as thyself. There's no condition He made on my neighbors. The condition was made on me that I am to be a good neighbor. Yeah. But one person said that in the whole place. Amen. Everybody has a neighbor. Their dog comes over and on your lawn, and everybody's got a neighbor. Got a cat that comes over and on your windows, and everybody's got a neighbor that dogs bark. Great Falls, I've never seen anything like it. There, people, every person in this world has a dog. Who does not have a dog in this church? Would you raise your hand? Really? Let me see that again. Why don't you come and be my neighbor? Somebody in my neighborhood, I haven't found it yet, but they got a hound dog. Oh! I think he's trying to be a wolf, but he ain't working for him. Huh? How many have cats? Okay. How many don't have cats?
Amen.
You stay out of my preaching, brother. But the Bible tells us that we are to what? Love our neighbors. Boy. And God put that in there for a reason. Because I have had some wonderful neighbors that has caused me to pray a lot. Number 10, God's common gift. Did I say 9? Yes. Number 10, God's common gifts to mankind oblige us to honor all men. We're to honor other people. Number 11, and those that are in distress should enjoy mercy as found in the mercy with God when we were in distress. Let me read that again for you. And those that are in distress should enjoy mercy as we found mercy with God when we were in distress. We should be ready to show kindness to those who are in like distress. Man, that's some powerful stuff. Number 12, God teaches us the duty is to ourselves to circumcise our heart. In other words, we're to mark our heart that we love God no matter what. We are to cast away all corrupt affections, corrupt inclinations which hinder us from fearing the loving God. That's pretty heavy stuff. Anything that would cause me not to love God, anything that would cause me not to serve God, he says, get rid of it. There's a family, just sit right there. And he got himself a brand new motorcycle. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a motorcycle. In fact, my garage is kind of full of them. But I know when to ride it and when not to ride it. That family doesn't come to our church anymore. I was looking at some pictures and I saw a picture of him and I looked at the date. And there was a picture of when he got his brand new Harley. I've seen him one time in this church since. Is having a motorcycle wrong? Yes, if it keeps you from serving God, if it keeps you from the house of God. Anything wrong with having a snowmobile? Anything wrong with having a four-wheeler? Anything wrong with having a weapon? Anything wrong with having a Volkswagen? Yes! How many has a Volkswagen? Raise your hand. You got a Volkswagen? I'm going to pray for you, brother. There's nothing wrong with having a TV. But if that TV causes you to stay away from the purity of Christianity, then you got to deal with it. I had a guy in our church, he used to go here, and he'd cuss TVs all the time. You know, when they had the rabbit ears, that was the mark of the beast, and on and on and on, you know. He's crazy about it. But I used to go soul winning, he'd come with him, and what would he do is when I was talking to somebody about Jesus, he'd sit and watch TV the whole time I was there. It's good that he didn't have one. Some of you can't, you don't have enough sense to, maybe I shouldn't say it. Oh, yes, I will. I really don't care when you go into bed on Facebook, okay? Or what you ate. Or your fingernails. I had a lady she had fingernails and her fingernails were dirty. You could tell the grud underneath them. Because when I blow up mine, I've got a big Mac, and it comes up like this. I mean, we're not looking at this. We're looking at this, and I'm looking at them claws, and they're dirty. And I'm saying, oh, my goodness. Next time, I'm sure she'd probably put her toenails on there. But anyway. You know, there's some of you people out there, I call it baiting. You throw something out there. Oh, I'm having a terrible day. What you're saying? Hey, ask me. I can't wait to tell you. Yeah. Okay, I'm done with that. All right.
Amen.
I know churches have been split over that stupid Facebook. Oh yeah, mine liked how the pastor said that. Yeah, me neither. Yeah, me neither. Neither did he, but he had to say it because of you, stupid. But anyway. God teaches us that our duty is to ourselves to circumcise our heart, cast away all corrupt affections and inclinations which hinders us from the fearing of God. By nature, we do not love God. By nature. This is from our original sin. The source when our wickedness proceeds, our carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not the subject of the law of God, neither can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8, verse 5. Look at it in your Bible, Romans 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what I'm after. I'm after life and peace. I want peace. I despise being in a place of disruption and place of angriness and place of meanness. I don't like that. I like to be around peace. Oh, I love peace. The Bible said, spiritual minded is life and peace. The opposite of life is death. I don't like to be around death. I love life. I love it when, hey preacher, we just had our baby. Can you come up to see it? Hey, I'll be right up there. I've been up one time. I ride a motorcycle. Was it yours? Yeah. One time, right? And Casey called up and said, hey, I said, hey, I'm coming up. Man, I have motorcycle gear on. Got a picture of the baby in the motorcycle gear. One time I had my cowboy shirt and I was at Vacation Bible School. I don't remember who it was. I had big old cowboy boots on. Walked in the hospital, took that baby of mine, big old cowboy hat. I love life. I don't like that. I love peace. I don't like the opposite of peace. Listen to what he said, verse 7, chapter 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Listen to that. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It's not willing to come under. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Not if any man have not Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. God tells us, number one, to fear. It comes from the Yahweh of the Old Testament. Fear, to be afraid, terrible, terrible things, dreadful, reverence, terrible acts, to stand in awe of, to be awed. That's what that means, that fear means. To cause astonishment. Have you ever been so scared you couldn't even spit? You couldn't even talk? We were taking, Marcia and I were going over last week to Laurel. And Mrs. Ortiz needed a ride over, I guess that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Well, needed a ride over to the airport. And so she came and helped me with Marcia, and then we took her to the airport the next morning. And we were coming by, I can't remember that, what was that town you spun that truck around? Hollow Town? Out of Judith Gap. And we were coming down, and it was black ice, and all of a sudden, his whole truck and 35-foot trailer did one of these numbers and backed up. Never hurt nothing. She says, preacher, I've never seen James like it. He said he couldn't even get out the door. He was just, he just, that is fear. That's what I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody has one of those experiences. If you haven't, you're going to get one, okay? One time I was riding with my sister. We're going down off this hill. And that idiot, excuse me, she put on the brakes and kept the brakes on. And the car went like this. I said, what are you doing? You're going to kill me. Wow. That was a... I used to tell my boys, you ain't scared, you ain't having fun. Boy, I had a lot of fun that day, amen. Rode this way, rode this way, rode this way, rolled this. I think she did it about three times down and backed her in the snowdrift. Didn't hurt the car at all. Wow. God tells us to fear the Lord thy God, the Lord Jehovah, the existing one, the proper name of a one true God was only always unpronounced. God tells us to fear the Lord thy God. Isn't that interesting? Today we are so flippant with the word God. God tells us to fear the Lord thy God. Then he says to walk. Not sit. Walk. To go. To walk. To come. To depart. To get away. To follow. To get. Lead. To be brought. To carry. To bring. God tells us to fear the Lord thy God. To walk in all his ways. That word ways means toward. The word ways can be translated journey. That word can be translated manner. Can even be translated towards. Translated road. Distant, direction, habit, way, course of life, moral character. That's what it's talking about. So Lord God says, hey, you're to love the Lord thy God. And you're to fear him. And you're to walk in his ways. And he says, in all his ways, and to love him. Love, lover, friend, beloved, liked, lovely, loving. Human love for one another includes family, objects of food. I like that, amen. I can relate to that, amen. Both love. Love God like food, amen. Love God like sleep. Did you hear what that girl said to me this morning? Things, I don't know what she said, but she says, Pastor, I slept through your sermon today. It was right on my microphone when she was talking to me. And Marcia said, yeah, I did too. Well, we try to do everything for everybody, put some people to sleep, you know, give you nice chairs to sit in. You know, when we ordered these chairs, we could have another $50 on each chair. We could have put a deal that would go like this and their feet would come up. How many would give me $50 extra? I thought of it. You bunches. All right. To serve. To love him and to serve him. That's what he tells us to do, to serve. What does it mean? Do you know what the word serve means? It means to do. Just to do. Just to do it. To be a servant. To be a worshiper. To be of service. To dress. To labor. It's interesting. Translator of the King James also translated that do as an ear. Well, you can't do nothing unless you hear, right? How many know people, you tell them what to do, they don't hear you? I don't hear a word you're saying. How many wives understand that? That's what I thought, you know. How many of you men, your wife ever says, did you hear me? Now in a sweeter voice, of course. Honey, did you hear what I said? How many have ever heard that in your house? Don't lie to me. Thank you. They're trying to keep you awake out there. When it comes to this word to serve, it means to work for another. To serve another by labor. To serve as subjects. To serve God. To serve with Levitical service. To work. To till the land. To make oneself a servant. Hey, we got a lot of people that are bosses. We need some servants. We need people who are willing in their heart to serve. Where do you serve at? A year ago, I sent out a piece of paper and said, what do you do at Heritage Baptist Church? Do you know what? I've kept them. I keep them. What do I do at Heritage Baptist Church? What do you do? He said, well, Pastor, I don't have a position. Jesus gave you a position. Well, I'm not a deacon. You can deek without being a deacon. Amen. There are certain things that happen around here. They just don't happen because somebody didn't do them. They happen. Walk in the bathroom. Walk in the nursery. Walk in the classroom. Walk in this auditorium. If we did not clean this auditorium, there'd be so much trash in here with some of you 23s to bring your coffee cups in and leave them in here. Take out your junk. By the way, this is not picnic ground. This is a preaching area. Quit bringing your popcorn. Good night. You know, when you do that, I get thirsty. Share. God calls all of us to a life of service. You hear me? And what are you doing? Well, Pastor, I'll tell you what I do. Sunday morning, I got my seat I sit in. Thank you. And of course, Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly. By the way, that has to do with Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any called service. This mission conference is a called service. You're not to miss it. Amen. If you miss it, you're going against the principles of the Word of God. Oh, Pastor, I believe the Word of God. You're a liar. You would never miss Sunday school. You never miss 9045 opening. You never miss Sunday morning. You never miss Sunday night, Wednesday night, unless, of course, you work. You would never meet it. You say, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Do you? So, man, you're getting from preaching to meddling. Yeah, about time. Hey, vacation time's coming. Woo-hoo! Summer's coming. Camping's coming. Hey, go camping. Find a church close to it. Go to church. Come back camping. You'll be a lot better off. You'll enjoy a lot more. I see some of you military guys, you go for 3 months, it seems like. You're gone. I don't see your tithe check. Funniest thing, God said, on the first day of the week, that means Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you bring your tithe check to church. You say, preacher, you just need the money. I don't need your stinking money. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble from God. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm telling you, the Bible says you're to bring your tithe to the local church and your offering. Some of you are just cheap. Well, let's see. 10%, that's $9.92. I'm bringing my tithe. God bless you. That mean you mean $99.20 that week. Is that what you live on? I had a guy much had here years ago. He was in the military. And back in those days, I don't know what they do today. Back in those days, they take out your auto insurance and they take off your auto loan and they take off this and take off that. And he said, preacher, all I get is $100 a week. I said, that's all you get? Now, I couldn't figure that out because he's got a brand new Chevy Impala sitting out in the church parking lot. And they're living off base in a very nice home. And he gets $100 a week? Yeah, you want to see my check? I said, yeah, but I said, bring the rest of it with you. He said, what do you mean? I said, bring everything with it. Tell him about the Social Security and all that. Listen, let me see it. Holy smolies, he'd make a lot of money. No wonder he can afford that brand new Impala. No wonder he can afford that brand new house. Hey, you know what? When Mrs. Hobbs, your church bookkeeper, writes me a check for my salary and for my housing and for my insurance, ministry expense, every penny of that is tithed on. Every penny. You say, why? Because I fear God. And I'm going to make sure that every penny that I bring in that week, I'm going to write a check out for 10% at least. I promised at the mission conference last year that I'd give $50 a week to missions. I know that's not a lot, but that's what we believe God wants us to give every week. And it goes in there. You say, why? I fear God. I don't fear you. Well, I fear Mrs. Hobbs. Maybe I should. But anyway. I do that because I believe this Bible. Tithing was before the law ever set up by Moses. Melchizedek. Abraham gave to Melchizedek, right? 10% before the law. Then Moses said, after the law, says you're supposed to give 10%. New Testament talks about bringing our tithe to the storehouse. I just want to be careful that what I say and I do and I live by this Word of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Do you believe this Bible? Well, God tells us to fear the Lord thy God and walk in all his ways and love him and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I love my wife with all my soul, with all my heart, all my life. I love her. I do. I've loved her for good night going on about 40, well, almost 50 years. I would never want to hurt her. I would never want to put her through anything that would cause her any kind of problems. I'm going to try everything I can to make her life a happy life. You know, years before this, her and I, we had a love affair like crazy. Still do. I don't want nobody else. Still don't want anybody else. This is it. That's it right there. I'm a one-woman man. That's my woman. In fact, she's my thing. I love my thing. You say, thing? Yeah, the Bible said, he that loveth his wife, he that findeth his wife findeth a good thing. This is my thing. I was at a college preached about that. I asked my wife, I said, would my thing stand up? And my college professors, they just went, and I said, I take it that some of you don't know what the scripture says about the wife. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So after the service at the college, I heard some of these idiot greenhorn young preachers say, this is my thing. I said, you're a liar. She ain't your wife. She ain't your thing until you marry her. She's her daddy's thing. And your daddy's going to bring his thing and shoot you with it. Amen. With all your heart. I'm going to give you, and we're going to close. I'm going to give you what it meant by love with all your heart. I'm going to give you what the Bible translates. It is labob, that's the Hebrew word, for the heart. And this is how they translated it. 231 times they translated it heart. 5 times they translate it consider. Love her with all your consider. Amen. 4 times the word heart is mine. By the way, I was doing some study on the heart. Did you know the heart has a brain? The heart has a brain. You can read up on that. It's pretty amazing. The AMA put out a deal about the heart and it's got a brain. And they were They wrote quite a few things about that. So it calls the mind, the will, the heart, soul, the understanding, the inner part, the midst of things, the heart of man, the soul, heart of man, the mind, the knowledge, thinking, reflection, memory, inclination, resolution, determination of the will. That's what the heart means. It determines. I have determined to love her. I told everybody in that church, and I told her daddy, and I told her mama, and I told her brother, and I told his two sisters, I will keep myself from no one else except her, as long as we both shall live. Forsaking all others. That was my promise to her. And so I determined, there's a determination of my will, and conscience, the heart of moral character, the seat of appetite, the seat of emotion and passion, the seat of courage. God tells us to love the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And he says, To keep the commandments of the Lord. I can't go without telling you this. That keep means shamar. It means to observe, to heed, to preserve, to beware, to mark, to be like a watchman, to regard, to have charge of, to keep watch and ward. It is my responsibility to make sure that I watch this heart to make sure it always loves God. Because this old heart of mine is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Are you in trouble today? Yeah, it's because, you know why? This thing right here is called your heart. This old thing that goes pitter-patter all the time. The heart. Hope to God that we learn in Deuteronomy and say, hey, these are the things where I'm going to be very careful about. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for loving us. Lord, you tell us to keep your commandments and your statutes. And Lord, you end it all up and say, that it is for thy good. It's not for your good, God. It's for our good. Lord, as a parent, we try to do everything we can for our children to teach them right, to walk right, so they will keep out of trouble. Lord God, help us to be mindful of the fact you're telling us the same thing. Lord, help us tonight. May we walk close to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, there are some things in my heart and my life that I need to take care of. I need to mark them. I need to have God work in my heart of that. You know what I mean? It's just so simple to me. When I read the Bible, it's so simple. It's easy to understand, but it sure is hard to do. Sure is hard to do. Father in heaven, I pray you'd be with us time. The invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads in it. Bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight. And you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on one of heaven. But I want to take care of that tonight. Why don't you come right now? Preacher, tonight, I need to be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You come right now. Let's all stand.